Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching good news, and healing disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, go out and form seminaries and train lots of workers, and you do the work yourselves." Oh, I'm sorry. That must be a different translation. "But the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Let's bow together. Lord, open our eyes to see the wonder of Christ. It has truly been said that Jesus is the great mystery of godliness. And as a mystery, we cannot understand, we cannot comprehend, we cannot appropriate anything that has to do with Him, unless Your Holy Spirit opens our eyes and ears. Unless You show us this mystery, we will be just as in the dark, no matter how many times we hear the message, no matter how many times we memorize the words. Our hearts will be unenlightened unless the Holy Spirit allows us to see. So Lord, I pray that You would move in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk about the compassion of Jesus Christ. We've been talking about how wonderful Jesus is, and we take for granted, we assume the compassion of Christ. And yet, we have no right to ask for any compassion. From birth, every one of us have been entitled only to God's wrath. Look at that well-known verse, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. "For the wages of sin." Do you comprehend? Do I comprehend how horrible sin is? I don't believe that. I don't believe for a moment that I understand how horrible sin is. Oh, when I get caught. How about when you get caught? For a moment, do you comprehend how bad sin is? But what happens to every one of us when we get caught? Sooner or later, that moment wears off, doesn't it? And sin becomes attractive again. "For the wages of sin is death." We don't believe that. We don't believe that where it counts in our heart. Oh, we might believe it here if I were to ask, how many of you believe that's true? Yeah. But do we in our heart of hearts really believe that the payment that every sin gets is death? Death in our emotional life. Death in our relationships. Death physically. Death spiritually. Now I want you to think, how many sins you and I sin? A million? A billion? easy it is to simply drift through life and sin be the norm. And we don't stop to think about that. We see Jesus come and we act as though somehow we deserve this. I remember when the gospel was first preached to me and someone told me, God loves you. My attitude was, of course, why not? How about you? How come it is that when good things happen in our lives, we don't say, whoa, look what God has wrought. Oh, look at what God has done. But when a tornado comes, oh God, why did you do that? When we get a promotion, we don't say, oh God, God, thank you. But when we lose our job, God, why did you let that happen? We take all the credit for the good and God all the blame for the bad. The wages of sin is death. Wages must be paid. Any of you, if your boss doesn't pay you, you go, that's all right, I don't need wages. Keep it. But here's the marvelous thing. Look at verse 36 in Matthew 9. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Now I want you to think, if you could see people the way Jesus saw people, if you could see what people were thinking, if you saw... Can you imagine if we had tattooed across our foreheads the sins that we had done in the last hour? Greed, lust, hate. The lies that we've told. Can you imagine what it would be like if someone could read your thoughts? They knew what was really inside of you. Do you realize how many walls we put up and Jesus saw through every one of them? What word, if you were Jesus, would compassion be replaced with? If you were Jesus and saw the way he did, saw the wickedness, the sin, as the crowd standing there saw the person that hated his brother so much because he blamed his brother for losing the family land that he wanted to kill him, saw the man beside him that was having an affair with his neighbor's wife right under his neighbor's nose, and the neighbor didn't know anything about it, and he and the wife were laughing about it. Saw the pickpocket wandering through the crowd, stealing from the crowd as they were gathered there. If that was you or me, and we saw into the heart of every, what word would be there when you saw the crowd? Would that word be compassion? Or would that word be anger? Would that word be disappointment? Would that word be when he saw the crowd? When she saw the crowd, he was disgusted. Do you begin to see the wonder of who Jesus is, that he saw all that? And the one word that comes out is, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. When we truly see our need, And when we see God's response, we must constantly be amazed at His compassion. And this wasn't the only time. Look with me at chapter 14. Look with me at chapter 14. Now, chapter 14 begins with the death of John the Baptist. Now, what did Jesus say about John the Baptist? Who was John the Baptist? Jesus said, of all the people who have ever been born of a woman, the greatest of them is... And what did they do to John the Baptist? They killed him over a lustful dance. And verse 13 in Matthew 14 picks up and says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Why do you think Jesus did that? Remember, Jesus was fully God and fully man. Do you think his friend and cousin, the death of his friend and cousin, he wanted some time to mourn? Maybe it reminded him of how quickly his death was approaching. And his death wouldn't just be a physical death. His death, he would carry all the sins of the world. Whatever the reason, as Jesus is there, he wants to get away. But what happens? Hearing this, the crowd respected his loss and gave him some time. Is that what the Word of God says? On hearing this, the crowds followed him on foot from the town. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd... Now, have you ever gotten a phone call and you just go, oh, them again? Or do you ever see your caller ID and think, oh? Have you ever been around people that just suck the life out of you? And when it's all gone, they want more. And when there's nothing left to give, when you're just a shriveled husk, then they'll turn on you and complain that you didn't give enough. You ever known people like that? When Jesus landed and saw the crowd, he said, that's enough. I can't take any more. I need some time alone. No. What did he do? He had compassion on them. Look at John 15, or Matthew 15. Matthew 15, 32. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. Let me ask you, does your heart leap with awe that Jesus would have compassion for you or me? Does it give you a feeling of awe when you think Jesus would have time for compassion on me? If not, then let me assure you that you've lost the sense of awe. You've lost something very precious. You have lost what? Jesus wrote to the church at Ephesus and says, remember the height from which you've fallen. God's compassion begins to become something that I say, oh well, I've lost it all. I just want to do a little side thing because I want you to notice that God wanted His people to share in that compassion. Look back with me at Matthew 14, 14. Look back with me at Matthew 14, 14. It says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And as evening approaches, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the village and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. I'll give them something to eat. Is that what he said? What did he say? You give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, they answered. One of the great problems in the church today is we are trying to serve in the power of the flesh. 1,600 years ago, the Pope was walking when the Catholic Church was the only church, long before the Reformation, 1,000 years before the Reformation. The Pope was walking through the golden halls of the Vatican with Thomas Aquinas, one of the great Christians of all times. And the Pope turned to him and said, I was thinking the other day about gold and silver have I none, that Peter said. And no longer can we say gold and silver have I none. We have much gold and silver these days. Thomas Aquinas said, yes, but neither can we say the end of that, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves of fish and bread and 2 fish, they answered. Here's what Jesus said. He said, bring them here to me. And ultimately, our greatest job is to bring people to Jesus. But to do that, we have to share His heart. We have to share His compassion. Look at what He does in Matthew 15. And He multiplies them, and we know about the feeding of the 5,000. But notice, this is only a short while later. Jesus called His disciples to Him, Matthew 15, 32, and said, I have compassion on these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat. I do not want them to go away hungry. They may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed a crowd? How many loaves do you have? And you know, God's always asking, what have you got? What have you got? Is all that you've got His? If you don't bring what you've got to Him, God's never going to do anything in your life or through you to other people. What are you holding on to? You see, God wants us to share His heart of compassion. The miracle of all miracles is, God has compassion on such as us. And yet we turn around and so often lack compassion. He said, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when He had given thanks, He broke them and He gave them to His disciples. You know, God always gives to His disciples to give to the world. God always gives to His disciples to give to the world. Because He has compassion. Now someone will say, well, if God has compassion, what's the problem? Everybody's okay if God has compassion. Look, God's just going to do that. No. No. Jesus came to bring compassion because the judgment is already there. Here is an absolutely essential truth to hold on to. Many people are running around acting as though God is looking for an excuse to judge and condemn. The picture that some people have is that God is up there just waiting for a chance to condemn. Let me assure you of this bedrock truth that we must understand. What does God have to do to condemn us? What does God have to do to condemn us? Nothing. Look with me at probably the best known. Let's wait and we'll go there. Look with me at Matthew 12. At John 12. Look with me at John 12. John 12. John 12, verse 44. John 12, verse 44. Then Jesus cried out, John 12, 44, when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. When you see the Son, you see the Father. When you believe in the Son, you believe in the Father. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. But as for the person who hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus was going to judge the world. Jesus says, I do not judge him, for I did not come to the world. I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. If God had wanted to judge the world, did he have to send his Son to judge the world? Never. Had God already judged the world once? You bet he had. You know how God has given us proof of that? Can you go anywhere in the world and not find fossils? And that most of the fossils in the world are fish. You go to the highest mountains. What do you find on the highest mountains? Fossils. And most of them are of fish. It would kind of seem that the whole world was covered with water at one time, wouldn't it? God can judge the world without sending his Son. He said, I did not come into the world to judge the world, but to save it. You see, we already had a judge. We needed a Savior. He goes on, verse 48, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. Do you realize? My hope is for every one of you that you have set this word as a goal of your life. That's why people ask me, the kids are always talking about my hair. My kids are saying, why don't you get a different haircut? I had the same haircut for, 35 years. You can tell. If you go through my pictures, you can tell when I got saved. Because, hey, I grew up in the 70s. What's the difference? There's just one little word in the Bible that says a man should have short hair. If you don't, you dishonor Christ. Is it an easy thing to wear short hair? Yeah. Say, am I condemned? No, but Jesus said this word. Now you say, that's such a little thing. I say, yep. But here's the principle. I want to live by as much of that as I can. Because let me assure you, all of us will be judged by this word. Jesus said to Satan, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And how often we call ourselves Christians, but the Bible says, oh well. Well, I know it says, but. Jesus says, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very word which I have spoken will condemn him at the last day. And yet, in spite of the fact that I stand condemned as a sinner unclean, Jesus has compassion on me. Jesus has compassion on you. You know what Jesus could have said? Jesus could have said, look, let's go back to Matthew 9. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Notice, the spiritual came first. So often we want to just heal the physical. We want God to deal with the physical. Then we'll get to the spiritual. Notice, the spiritual came first. He went through the villages preaching the good news. And then second of all, healing every disease and sickness. We want to flip that order. We want God to heal first, and then if later, I can remember talking with some people at one time and they were complaining about the Salvation Army. They said, yeah, the Salvation Army helps the poor. They help the people that are homeless and don't have anything to eat, but they make them sit there and listen to that religious stuff first. They really want to help. Why don't they just give out the food and keep their religion to themselves? No. Good news is what really is necessary, not the feeding of the body. But then he healed every disease and sickness. Now, you know, Jesus could have said, why should I heal your sicknesses? I created you in a perfect garden with a tree of life, and there would have been not one sickness, not one disease, not one death. If you'd have just listened to me and obeyed me in the garden, there wouldn't have been any sickness. You're just getting what you deserve. He could have said that, couldn't he? But no, he had compassion. And so he healed their diseases and their sickness. Did they deserve to be healed? No! And yet he had compassion. Because you see, he understood how condemned we stand. Look with me at the best known verse in the whole Bible. At least here in America. If a person knows one verse in the whole Bible, it is undoubtedly this verse, John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Most of the time we stop there, but let's just go on just a little bit. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. You see, God made a way out of condemnation because he had compassion. But look at the other side. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Why am I not in hell today? Only the compassion of God. I did so many things, I should be dead a dozen times. How about you? Ever had a blowout on the car? How come the car didn't flip over? It does sometimes, you know. Ever had somebody run a red light? How come they didn't hit you? They do sometimes, you know. I had a fellow that was on our church softball team in Bridgeton. He had stomach aches. He went to the hospital. Went to the ER. He didn't have insurance. They gave him some antacid, some things like that, told him to just sit there. They didn't want to run a lot of tests because he didn't have insurance. He was 23 years old. He had an acute appendicitis. His appendix burst. He was dead before they could do anything, 23 years old. How come that wasn't me? That wasn't you. I was condemned already. How many times was I 1 second from the doorway of hell and God snatched me from the jaws of death? How about you? For God so loved. You see, we lose sight of how precarious our situation was, so God's love doesn't look very good. Yeah, okay, God loves me, so what? God has compassion, oh, who cares? Oh, but when we see how great our need was, whosoever believes in him is not condemned. But whosoever does not believe stands condemned already. Notice, it's not that they'll be condemned in the future. If you're not in Christ today, you're already condemned. Remember the old westerns where the guy's changed his name? He's lived in the town, but he's got a warrant out for him. The bounty hunter comes into town. Death is God's great bounty hunter. Since I'm condemned already, he could have sent his bounty hunter after me anytime he wanted to. And he could have done the same for you. But God had compassion. Now, who's the person here who hasn't spurned that compassion? Who's the person that didn't hear of that compassion but slammed the door? And yet God continued to pry at that door in compassion. Knock at the window. Continue to show compassion. Look down at verse 33, John 3:33. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God's Spirit, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hand. Whoever believes in the Son will at some distant point in the future have eternal life. Is that what it says? Has eternal life. Is that life in you today? Has it changed your life today? Has God's compassion, because He gave that life, made you different than everyone around you? But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains. Now, I want you to notice that remains. What's it mean to remain? What's it mean for something to remain? It means, to remain means it was on in the past. Otherwise, it would say God's wrath would be placed on him, right? If God's wrath remains, it was on in the past. It is on in the present. And it will continue to be on in the future. Oh, I thank God that God's wrath was on me at one time. How about you? I was a child of disobedience, fitted for God's wrath. Oh, but God, in His grace, showed His Son, and the day came. And I said, I don't want to be under God's wrath anymore. And because of God's compassion, He made a way for me to turn to Him and say, take away this wrath. And God, in His compassion, could say, I can, because of what my Son did on the cross. Thank God, by His compassion and His grace, God's wrath no longer remains on me. How about on you? You see the wonder of His compassion? You begin to see how glorious it is that God had compassion. Now somebody will say, well, that's just New Testament. No, that's always been God's plan. That's what God's wanted all along. Look with me at Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. Oh, what compassion that God hears our voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. You see, there's salvation. You remember the day before you called on Him, the day when the only time you used His name was to take it in vain? You remember the time when you had no time for Him? That's what amazes me, that people who call themselves Christians, oh, I'm busy. How can you be busy with the one who's had such compassion? Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. You ever been there? You ever sat in a cold sweat in a car thinking about what might have happened? You ever sat up in a chair after being in bed for days or weeks with a high fever and it wouldn't break? And you could say, the cords of death entangled me. I was overcome by sorrow and by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. Oh, what compassion. Why should God save us? Why should He have any desire to save us? Why should He have any time to save us? I called on the name of the Lord. O save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. He had compassion. He had compassion. Most people today think that it's incredible that God has wrath. But what is truly incredible is not God's wrath. I've earned that. The wages of sin is death. What is truly amazing, what is utterly wondrous, what is beyond comprehension, is that God is compassionate to me and to you. You ever had a friend that betrayed you? Then they did it a second time. You ever said this phrase to someone, you know, fool me once, shame on me. No, on you fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not going to give you a second chance. You get me once, that's it. You'll never get a second chance. How many of us? Has God not only given a second chance, but a third, a fourth, a fifth, a tenth, a twentieth, a fiftieth, a thousandth, a millionth? Oh, how wondrous is the compassion of Jesus. How wondrous is His compassion. There is one warning that we must have, and with this we close. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, 26. Hebrews 10, 26. When God has given His compassion to us, we need to stretch out our hand and receive that compassion. Because here's the other side. It says, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. How horrible it is that in spite of all God's compassion, those who reject that compassion have no hope. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died, what's that say? Without mercy. We have to understand that there is a day when God's compassion ends. God has compassion, but the moment a person dies without repentance, I was talking with a group of liberal pastors at one point, and they said, yes, but God's compassion goes on. And I said, there is not one verse, you show me, but one verse in the entire Bible where God ever has compassion upon a person 1 second after death. Find me one, and I'll become what you are. But if you cannot, you had better become what I am. The moment I die, if I have not taken advantage of God's compassion before that hour, the moment I die, God's compassion is done. And there is but a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now I want you to think about this with all that Jesus did in showing the compassion he showed. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? I don't need that grace. God, thank you anyway. I'll do it myself. I'll go my own way. I don't have to listen. Person who has spurned the compassion of God, what kind of raging judgment do they deserve? We must give warning. Remember, Jesus took the loaves and he handed them to the disciples. And he said, give out the food. God has given us his word of compassion. It is our job to take it to a lost world, or they will never know. Who has insulted the Spirit of grace? Whatever you do, make absolutely sure that you do not insult the Spirit of grace. Take his compassion today in the day of compassion. Let's bow together. Oh God, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, now I see. Oh God, let me see with true eyes, and let me value and stand in awe and respond in love and obedience to the great compassion of Jesus. In his holy name, amen.